First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. This is the reading of God's word. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing of your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Work in us and so that we may be more like your Son, living that holy life that you have called us to live. Oh, Father, let your gospel be preached, and through your word, let your people meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and have wonderful fellowship with him and with you. Oh, Father, receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul says in our chapter, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul warns the Corinthian church of the danger of not excommunicating a member who does not repent of his grave sin. And we find our verse, this verse 7, in that context. It says, you are in fact unleavened. Clean out the old leaven. Why? Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. First of all, leaven, what is this? Yeast. It causes the dough or bread to rise. And when we hear the words like leaven and Passover, which we do find in our verse, we are reminded of the Exodus story in the book of Exodus. So let us go there, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And this is a little bit long, but let us read it. I'll read it and you hear. I'm going to read from verse 14. Exodus 12, verse 14. God says, now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generation, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. But on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person that alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought you your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Here we see God instituting the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, they are to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. But if we read Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, your lamb, meaning the Passover lamb, shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Here we see that the Passover lamb is killed on the 14th day of the first month. The same day, they are to start the unleavened bread, start the feast of unleavened bread. Same day, the 14th day. Thus, we are able to conclude that they are to observe the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days, but the very first day of those 7 days is also the Passover. Understand? 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but the very first day of that 7 days of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is also the Passover. That's when they are to kill the lamb for the Passover sacrifice. So according to verse 15, they are to remove all leaven from their houses on the first day, on the Passover, as the day they kill that lamb, they are also to do what? To remove all the leaven from their houses. Remove all leaven from your house. The leaven is a symbol of sin and also a symbol of a sinner. Now, a leaven is also used by Jesus to symbolize something that is good. He compares heaven with the leaven in one place as the kingdom growing. So you see the picture, leaven and the bread or dough is rising, growing. But usually the leaven, and, you know, Paul uses it this way also, is a symbol of sin and symbol of sinner. And the house points to the assembly of Israel. So each household, as the head of the house, which is pointing to the priest of that house, he is to sacrifice, kill the lamb, but also remove the leaven. And Paul means the same way here. The leaven in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 points to sin and the sinner. So what is Paul saying? Remove the leaven. Well, we must get rid of or remove sin from our lives and sinners who do not repent from the church. I told you already the context of chapter 5 is that this Corinthian church is not excommunicating this person. I mean, his sin is so serious, you know, I don't even want to mention it. And yet they don't do anything. They just leave that person just sin as he wishes in the church. That's the context. And here it says, remove the leaven. Now, we see here a close relationship between the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover, according to Exodus 12, verse 13, let me read that to you. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It says the blood will be a sign. It is a sign that shows that the atonement has been made. The wage of sin is death, and the blood on the doorpost shows that the death has already occurred. Something or someone, in this case the lamb, has already died in place of the firstborn of the household. The blood is a sign that the judgment of God has already occurred in that household. That's the picture. Thus, he sees that blood on the doorpost. He sees that the judgment has already occurred, even though it's typologically occurred. He passes over the house and does not kill the firstborn of that household. This is the picture. Thus, the Passover shows the necessity of the atonement. God does not just pass over. He passes over only when he sees the blood, which shows that the judgment has already occurred. The wage of sin must be paid. No exceptions. And the forgiveness of sin is absolutely necessary. That's what Passover shows. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread shows the necessity of the righteous life. A life without sin. The perfect life. So in that 7 days, you see what Jesus is accomplishing when he comes. He dies for your sins so that in heaven we will live sinless life. We will live that perfect righteous life. And seven is a symbol of completeness. Forever and ever, it will be the feast of the unleavened bread for you and for me in heaven. No sin whatsoever. As you know, sinner has two problems. One, he has sin. That's the problem. And the other one, he has not the righteousness. So two problems. One, he has sin, but he has no righteousness. And righteousness is the opposite of sin. Sin is what? Well, you're disobeying God, or even in obeying, you do not obey perfectly. That is sin. So the opposite of sin, righteousness, is that you obey perfectly. Not just obey, but perfectly obey. So your problem as a sinner is that you not only break God's word, you don't obey, but even when you try to obey, you don't obey perfectly. That's your two problems. And the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread show how Jesus takes care of these two problems. He pays the wage of sin on the cross for us, and he lives the perfect righteous life for us. He pays. Passover shows you that. And he lives that righteous life, sinless life. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread shows that. So, it shows what Jesus has done, but the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread also show our lives in Christ. We, by the blood of Jesus, are saved out of sin. And like I said before, in heaven, we will live that perfect righteous life, sinless life forever and ever. And spiritually, in Jesus Christ, that life has already begun. So Paul says, clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump. But he says, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. So he's not saying, clean out your old leaven so that you may become unleavened. No, he corrects himself, if you will. Yeah, I don't like that. You know, how can God be wrong so he corrects? No. So, you know, you got to be careful in this kind of stuff. But just to make a point, he's saying, clean out the old leaven, remove leaven from your life, so that you may be a new lump. That is to say, you are already new lump. Clean out the leaven so you will show to everybody that you are indeed unleavened. That's what he's saying. So don't think of an, you know, Arminian argument that I need to do this to become something. That's not what Paul is saying. All right? That's why, you know, I had to make that, you know, that comment there. You are already unleavened. Thus, it is wrong to have leaven. It's like a kid lesson. Yeah, you are without leaven. So it is wrong to have leaven. See? That's what Paul is saying. Pretty simple. And yet, most of us really don't get it. Because when we see how we live, it just shows we don't get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkard, nor reviler, nor swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, such were some of you. That's how you were. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Yes, you were full of leaven before, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified by our God, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, this letter was given to what? To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. This is the argument that God is making. We have already become unleavened in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be saved. Thus, it is wrong to have leaven in our lives. It is wrong to have sin. That's Paul's argument. It is about It is about who we are in Christ. What kind of person did Jesus make us to be? What happened to us when we say he saved us? What will have become unleavened? He cleansed all our sins and he gave us his own righteousness. So we must, by faith, do our best to live out what Jesus has accomplished for us. If we believe that indeed we are saved out of sin, if we really believe that we have died with Christ on the cross, and that we have been resurrected with Christ, if we truly, truly believe, then we must live our lives reflecting that reality. We must remove leaven. We must remove sin from our lives, and we must remove sin from our church. That's why if any one of you members sins and not repent, not repenting for a long time, you will be excommunicated. This is God's command to remove leaven. But only reason that anybody might be excommunicated is what? That they do not repent. As soon as you repent, then forgiveness comes. You don't have to be excommunicated. Why would you? Well, some people just don't repent. Then what can we do? I mean, you know, we're not talking about like, I mean, the sin that Paul is speaking of, it is very sick. I mean, if you read chapter 5, the context. But we are now in Christ. Holy people of God, you and I, we are in Christ, righteous people of God. For Christ, our Passover also has been sacrificed. That is Paul's argument. Do you know that Jesus has been sacrificed? Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. What does that mean? If our Passover lamb is sacrificed, then what follows? Automatically, if Passover sacrifice is given, then what follows that? 7 days of unleavened bread. Sinless life. That's Paul's argument. If you really believe Jesus is your Passover lamb, and if he is really sacrificed, then if you understand the Bible, then now your life is living out the reality of the feast of the unleavened bread. That's Paul's argument. And it makes perfect sense. So, we must reflect that reality. We must remove leaven from our lives. Did not Jesus die for our sins? Did not he take care of the problems of our sins? Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to the 7. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. This does not mean that when we are saved that we will never sin again. No, but you must believe that you are saved out of sin, and sin is no longer our master. You are no longer slaves to sin. You must believe, and by faith, you will be able to reflect more the reality of the fact that you and I, we live the feast of the unleavened bread, because our Passover lamb has already been sacrificed. We must believe that we are saved out of sin, that you are no longer a slave to sin, and with that faith, you must fight against sin. We must remove leaven from our lives. Just continue to remove leaven so that you will show that you are living the feast of unleavened bread. And when we sin, we must repent, being confident that God does forgive our sins. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, God says, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." You must believe. Come out to God and repent. And not only He forgives, He says He will not even remember it anymore. See, people don't believe this. That's why they either, like, they're not sincere in their repentance, so they repent, and they repent again, same sin, just continue that, like, every day for a long time, they repent the same sin. Either they're not sincere, or they don't believe that God forgives and doesn't even remember anymore. Yes. Believe what God says to you. And be free. Be free from sin and be free from guilt of sin. No, it doesn't give you the right to sin more. But remember that Jesus died for your sins. And God forgives you. In Jesus Christ, all our sins are cleansed and forgiven. Just how far is east to the west? That's Bible's argument. That's how far the sin has been removed from you. Jesus died as our Passover lamb, and we now live the eternal feast of unleavened bread in Jesus Christ. This is our reality. This is what is true of us in Christ. Even as we sin every day, you must believe, I am living. I am living out that reality. Living a feast of the unleavened bread. This is my reality. This is what is true of me. You must believe. Christianity is all about faith. If you don't believe, then even if you do whatever, it's not coming from your faith, then it's not pleasing to God. When you go to Matthew 26, we see the Last Supper, Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Do you understand? The day that Jesus had the Last Supper, that was the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That's the Passover day. Friday, as he dies, it was Passover. So, listen. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciple came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" The Last Supper is the Passover feast. He dies as our Passover lamb. Today's Lord's Supper that you're going to participate, it points to the perfect eternal Passover feast. And we know that the perfect eternal feast of unleavened bread has already begun in Jesus Christ. We remove all leaven. We fight against our sins and we repent when we sin. Exodus chapter 12, verse 27, you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord. Passover sacrifice. There are many sacrifices in the Old Testament, burn offering, grain offering, sin offering, and peace offering, and more and more. The Passover sacrifice is peace offering. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11 through 15. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifices of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of unleavened bread. Of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. What is he saying? The offerers of the sacrifice, if it is peace sacrifice, peace offering, then the offerers of the sacrifice also participate in the eating of the sacrifice. And reflects peace between God and the offerer. Thus, the sacrifice first, then the feast. Sacrifice points to the atonement, points to the wage of sin. The lamb is killed and the blood is shed. And the feast, peace between God and his people. There's fellowship now. There's communion. That is what we see in the Lord's Supper. The sacrifice is already made once and for all by our Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. The wage of sin is once and for all paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not sacrificing him again as we participate in the Lord's Supper. And now we come to his table and eat and drink with him. Sacrifice first, then what follows? Feast follows. The banquet of heaven. Fellowshipping with our God and communion with our God. So we come to his table. We sit with God and we eat and drink with him. That is exactly what is true of us in heaven. Heavenly banquet. You and I are invited to that eternal banquet of God. And that is what the Lord's Supper is pointing to. As you come, see what Jesus has done for you. But also see what Jesus has accomplished for you. You now are able to have communion with God. There's peace between God and you. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The Lord's Supper. Peace between God and his people is perfectly accomplished. The reconciliation is perfectly accomplished. The fellowship is perfectly accomplished. Our sins are completely and perfectly cleansed and forgiven. And we now have the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the table. Just look at the table. Even though Elder Patel will distribute these elements, the reality is you are invited to his table. And look at the table. The judgment seat. If you are coming to God, then it has to be judgment seat. But look at it. The judgment seat has been changed to communion table. The sinners who deserve the eternal judgment of God have been changed to God's eternal bride, God's righteous people. The judge is now to us our eternal husband, eternal father, the master who invites us to his eternal feast of heaven. Things are changed. No more judgment for us. That's why we come rejoicing. Please, brothers and sisters, this is not the funeral of our Lord Jesus Christ. You just come and just cry and cry. Yes, you have to be sorry for your sins. And you know, crying is okay. I'm not against that. But it's not just like funeral home, you know. Some people treat Lord's Supper as a funeral of Jesus. No, it's a heavenly banquet. God and his people are having communion, having fellowship, eating and drinking together. Jesus Christ has alone accomplished our eternal salvation. But remember how it is accomplished. Jesus on the cross was treated as leaven. He has been treated as the one who did not remove leaven even though he was sinless. And he was on the cross cut off. He died for you. And he died for me. And now he gives himself to you and to me. Come, brothers and sisters in Christ. And see what has been accomplished through Jesus Christ. Let me end with this. When you come to the table, you will see that our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Then realize, brothers and sisters, that the feast of the unleavened bread has begun. This is your life. And you must live a life that reflects your spiritual reality. And this is what you need to do today. As you see your Lord, and from these elements, you see what he has done for you. Man, this is just so wonderful. But, you know, I have to end. So, when you go out that door, remind yourself, I am living the feast of unleavened bread. Today is that first day. And 2 years from now, it will still be that first day. And you will find yourself in heaven one day and, whoa, that feast of unleavened bread had just begun. And forever and ever and ever, you realize it's still first day. This is what our life is all about, guys. Let's live it with joy and thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what your Son has done for us and what he has accomplished for us. As we come to your table, let us see clearly that our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. And let us realize the feast of unleavened bread has begun. Let us live our lives in terms of reflecting that reality to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.